May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm going to read something to you now. No Stevens were hurt in the authorship of this, and it's entirely fictitious. Memo to the director regarding Stephen. Stephen, the newest member of the team, can always be found hard at work in his cubicle. Stephen works independently without wasting company time talking to colleagues. He never thinks twice about assisting fellow employees, and he always finishes assignments on time. Often, Stephen takes extended measures to complete his work, sometimes even skipping lunch breaks. He is an unusual individual who has absolutely no vanity in spite of his strong qualifications and profound knowledge in his field. I firmly believe Stephen can be classed among our very best employees, the type which cannot be dispensed with. Consequently, I duly recommend Stephen be promoted to senior management, and a proposal will be sent away as possible. Second memo to the director regarding Stephen. Stephen was looking over my shoulder as I wrote my previous memo, so please read only every alternate line for my true assessment of him. Stephen, the newest member of the team, can always be found wasting company time talking to colleagues. He never finishes assignments on time. Often, Stephen takes extended lunch breaks. He is an unusual individual who has absolutely no knowledge in his field. I firmly believe Stephen can be dispensed with, consequently. I duly recommend Stephen be sent away as soon as possible. Now, I hear you cry. What's she on about? What I'm on about is parables. We're in chapter 13 of this gospel, and there are seven parables. It's an important chapter. I recommend you go home and read it thoroughly. I've enjoyed reading it, really enjoyed reading it this week. And a parable is a story, yeah, but it is also something that conceals as well as reveals. Okay? And it never ceases to amaze me when I read the Bible, where I'm asked to talk, that Jesus, you know, it's a well-known passage, and I'm thinking, oh, crumbs. Always, 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 God reveals something that I've never seen before. And we are called as disciples of Jesus to search for those revelations, yeah? We're called to search for those things which are concealed. Now, why did Jesus conceal some things? One suggestion is that the authorities were really attacking him. Thank you, Lord. Being under attack. Were really attacking him. So therefore, what he had to say had to be in a bit of a code. And he was speaking to the crowds. And he's repeating. Now, there are seven parables in this chapter 13. Because it had to be repeated and repeated, because it's an important message. And the people listening did not have the benefit of a Bible, so they couldn't read and reread. Yeah? And it's always up to those who are reading or listening to find that revelation which God wants them to find. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that not everybody believes in Jesus. I don't know how they cope with life. And when they hear about Jesus, you know, let's go back to the parable of the sower, which we did, 2 weeks ago? Yeah? We've been on these parables, these seven parables, for 3 weeks now. And seed falls on the path, and seed falls on the rocky ground, and seed falls amongst the thistles. Yeah? All we are asked to do is to spread those seeds, spread that yeast, spread the net. We are not responsible for those who do not listen. That's them with God. Okay. That's for them to resolve. That's all we are asked to do. And in that revelation and learning that we get from what is concealed to others, that's the truth. That's the truth that we need to share. We don't make it up. We do not amend this, the word of God, to suit ourselves or to suit the situation. We just speak the truth that's in the Bible. That's all we are called to do. Gosh, don't we complicate things sometimes? So let's have a look at these parables. At these first two parables, Jesus is speaking to the crowd. Okay? So we have the parable of the mustard seed and we have the parable of the yeast. Now, isn't it amazing that, you know, Jesus is speaking in all of these parables about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Can it really be as small as a mustard seed? Because I think the kingdom of heaven is huge. It's got to start somewhere. It's got to start in those disciples in Jesus' time that had to go out. Jesus was preparing these guys to go out and to speak the truth. So they had to probably start off quite small, especially when they were semi-literate, and especially since they needed to go out in amongst all the powerful Romans and all the people that could speak well and all the people that could debate. And I did wonder, actually, the parables that we'd heard today was a bit like our own journeys to faith. You may resonate with some of these bits of information. Faith usually starts small, doesn't it, before it can grow, whether that's a mustard seed or a piece of yeast. Mustard seed to grow into a tree which is 4 meters high, or yeast, a small speck of yeast, which can serve and make several loaves. Now, I'm going to go on a bit of self-indulgence now. Whenever I hear that parable, I think of my Nana. We used to go into her scullery. She didn't have a kitchen, she had a scullery. Oh, she was a marvellous baker. And we used to pound the dough with her. Just like Cassius Clay. Now, I know some of you know who he is. I'm just going to leave it that he was a famous boxer. And we used to pound this stuff and mould it and, you know, the yeast used to rise and it was marvellous. Anyway, sorry, that was my little digression, my bit of self-indulgence. So we have our faith, and some people actually come to faith later on in life. That's me. And that's where we are now. Jesus is now just talking to the disciples, just the disciples. And he's talking about a treasure that someone ploughing the field comes across unexpectedly. And that might be, well, that's me, you know, coming across something, and there it was. There's the truth about Jesus, and wow. Or someone who's been seeking to find that perfect pearl. And both guys in these parables sell everything they have to gain that field, to gain that pearl. And that's what we are called to do, is to give everything up for Jesus. And he is preparing us to go out and share that treasure, share that pearl. And then we come to the parable of the net, where the fish, good and bad, are drawn into that net. And that is very similar to the parable of the thistles, yeah, which Kirsty spoke on last week, which grow up and choke. Very, very similar, because we individually are all going to face God at some point in time. And at the sake of being political, as you know, I've just been on holiday to America, and I had discussions about Jesus and Donald Trump. And all I could say was, look, I have enough issues on my shoulders than to worry about his, because he's going to have to face his maker too. Yeah, anyway, that's probably too much of a digression as well. So therefore, that's the allegory of our lives. You know, we'll either be good fish, or in fact, in some versions of the Bible, rotten fish. We will be divided, goats and sheep. Now let's recall that Jesus was speaking to his disciples. And the last few verses of this extract from chapter 13 asks the disciples, "Have you understood all of this?" "Yes," they answered. And he's saying to his disciples, "Therefore, you have been trained for the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven which you have been trained for is a treasure which you share, new and old. Stuff that you know, stuff that you don't know, stuff that was revealed to you, stuff that might have been concealed from you and is now revealed to you." He's talking to us. And when the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak in parables?" Jesus answered, "To you has been given the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." We have been given some of the secrets of heaven. Others do not, even though they hear the word. As I say, we have to leave it with them. Now, the reading from the Old Testament today was from 1 Kings, and God went to Solomon in Solomon's dream and said, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? What are you going to ask for me? And in his dream, Solomon asked for wisdom and discernment. And God replied, "I'm going to give you wisdom and discernment because that's all you've asked for. You haven't asked for anything for yourself. That's all you've asked for. So how much more will God give to those who love him, who abide by his work, who speak his truth?" And let's just flip over to, let's just ask a question. If God asked you, what would you ask for? What would you ask of God? What would you ask of God? What do you ask? What do you want from God? I'm still busy thinking about that question, and I will leave that question with you. And the encouragement comes in the passage from Romans, where it says that the Spirit intercedes for us all the time. And he intercedes for us and with us in sighs too deep for words, but always in accordance with the will of God. Always in accordance with the will of God. And the ultimate encouragement, and I just love these words, is the end of the reading from Romans 8. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Take that with you. Enjoy. And read chapter 13. Amen.